I've been asked a lot lately what it takes to be a successful woman in business. And I believe women, generally, they are very wholehearted, they're very nurturers, they're very given. They have a lot of different things, obviously, a lot of attributes that not everybody out there has. So I've been asked a lot lately what it takes to be a successful woman in business. And I believe women, generally, they are very wholehearted, they're very nurturers, they're very given. They have a lot of different things, obviously, a lot of attributes that not everybody out there has. But there are a few things in particular. I believe that you have to be frustrated in where you are at the moment, whether it's financially, whether it's with your life, whether it's whatever part of you, you have to be frustrated because you won't move until it hurts enough that you have to. The second thing is you have to stand for something. Women, obviously, like I said, you believe in something wholeheartedly. You give it everything that you have, and whether it's vision, you know, crusade, serving people, that's something that women, we give abundantly and all the time. So stand for something. It's a huge part in business, especially for women. And the third thing is mental toughness. I believe that 80% of business is about being mentally strong. And women in particular, not just because you have to surround yourself with maybe women, a mentor that you look up to, but you have to read continuously. Maybe get yourself a proper book, get yourself around the right associations. You are the average of the five people you hang out with. Listen to the proper CDs. Maybe go to different places where it allows you to stretch your vision. Maybe allow yourself to be a part of women that are strong, that are in the community, that also stand for something and incorporate yourself into that. So business does have a lot of different attributes to it, but as women, I know that we can be an example for many others, that we can go out there and make a difference, especially because there's not a whole lot of business women out there in the world. So these are just a few different points to focus on, but that's what I would say for business and women.
Welcome to the Businesswoman TV. I'm your host, Amanda Rose, and today I'm going to share with you the power of saying no. As women, we find it difficult to say no. We fear missing out on opportunities, but we also want to help those that we feel are in need or even just a friend because we like to see them succeed. Although this is not the formula for success, well, not serious success. You will need to build your no muscle. Opportunities may arise. For example, a board position, and you've always wanted to be on a board. But you need to ask yourself, is it the right board to get me where I want to go in 5 to 10 years from now? A charity might ask for your time and money. That's fantastic. But do you have the time and the money right now to invest? Can it wait 1 year? Are you already overcommitted in helping other people? Saying no does not mean you are missing out. It means you are clarifying exactly where you're headed and you know exactly what you want. When you build a reputation and build respect as being the woman that says no when she needs to say no, people will stop asking things of you unless it is in line with where you're headed. Thank you for watching the Businesswoman TV. If you liked this episode, please share it. Otherwise, jump across.
Very often when you ask female employees who managed to work their way up, they often had the support of a husband, mm-hmm. or the support of their parents, mm-hmm. particularly their mother, or their mother-in-law, mm-hmm. or they live in countries where the domestic support is relatively easy and cheap.
When I'm at work, I'm 100% at work. Unless my kids are sick or there's a problem, I'm all in. Both feet, 100%, because I know working hard and doing a good job is taking care of my family.
You can take it, and you can take on a lot of responsibility because, 25 years ago, I had two very small children under the age of 3, and that seemed overwhelming at times, and I didn't know whether I was up to it. And, my kids turned out to be the mm-hmm. most delightful people I know.
When it comes to guilt, I really believe that when they take the baby out, they put the guilt in. Because I have not met a woman who has children and a career who is not guilty, definitely myself included. But what we are learning is that we are not going to be super women or super moms, that we are going to do our best and that we need to stop judging ourselves. And I think it's really important to give ourselves a break.
Nobody's perfect. We're not meant to be perfect. It took me a long time to learn that. We're supposed to be complete and whole. And you can't be whole if you're trying to be perfect.
I think it's really to be true to yourself and listen as much as one is able to other people whose opinions you respect and look up to. But in the end, it has to come from you, and you can't really worry too much by looking to the left or to the right about what the competition might be doing or other people in your field might be doing. It has to be a true vision.
You have to have people whose vision is not only aligned with yours, but they also carry the passion for the vision as you do.
I am a firm believer that whether you are running a 10-person company or a 50-person not-for-profit organization, you are only as good as the people who work for you. What I did at eBay is I had a phrase: I need the right person in the right job at the right time with the right values and behaviors. And if you do that, gosh, things are so much easier.
It's curiosity that gets people excited. Curiosity leads to new ideas. Curiosity leads to new jobs, new industries, and it perpetuates itself because it's this never-ending cycle of what if and followed by why not.
The hardest thing for me was to learn how to say no and to make some people unhappy.
It's learning to balance and accepting that it's okay to say no, I can't. That is one of the toughest sentences I think any woman particularly must learn in order to truly become powerful and comfortable in your own skin, is to say, no, I can't, and to know that it's okay to not try to do everything.
When I say something that I absolutely believe what I'm saying with 100% of everything I have, because of the force that I deliver that message in, people believe me. And they believe me because I'm not just speaking in words. I'm speaking in truths.
You don't have to act like a man, and you don't have to act like a woman. There's, you know, your own personal style somewhere in between the two.
I think a network of friends and supporters is so important, and it has to happen naturally. You know, if someone walks up to you and says, can I be your mentor? Will you be my mentor? That's not a natural situation, so you have to set up the situation for people to find each other.
What is important is to understand first that if you are able to overcome your internal limitations as a woman, you will be able to conquer any kind of goal you want to.
I think it really just comes down to this inner drive and personal feeling that I don't ever want fear to be the reason that I don't experience something in life.
Be brave. The price of inaction is far greater than the cost of making a mistake.
To use your life as a force for something that is bigger than yourself.
The most important thing is to stay interested. That's much more important than being interesting.
My best piece of advice for the next generation is to know this. Everything you dream of, that you care enough to not give up on, the deepest passions in you, the things that you really want, will come true.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Thor Radio Network. Today is Wednesday, July the 8th, 2015. This is The Women Reelevated. I'm your host, facilitator, and sister, Layla. I'm joined with the matriarch of Thor, wonderful and powerful Yama. I'm truly honored and blessed to come before you this day in an effort to continue to spread the love in the world, which is the ultimate basis of the woman reelevated. The strength of a nation is known by the status of the woman. So, you know, women being wise, righteous, and powerful, those are the characteristics that are necessary in the woman. And we aim to bring people before you that have these characteristics so we can share and grow together in harmony. So we have a wonderful guest coming on today. We're going to be excited to talk to her. In the meantime, you know, I've been traveling over the last couple of weeks, and
still airing the broadcast on Thor from my travels. And I just want to share with you all the beauty and the splendor. You know, I live in the Midwest, if you will, the Southwest part of the country where it's flat land and dry and hot. And I happen to be in the northeastern region of the country, and where it's treed and beautiful green grass. And I've had the opportunity to walk in the woods and see deer. And just as the show is beginning, just today, right, you know, while we're on air, there's a deer that just came right to the window, right, like less than 10 feet away from me, and it started to eat and graze in the herbage. But I just wanted to share that with you, the beautiful scene I'm looking out the window from where I am, and the wonderful nature at its glory, just doing what it does without any care or worry in the world. That's what I want to bring forward in this beautiful picture that I just saw and that unfolded before me with this deer. And that's the way we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be mindful, yet not worried, be powerful, fearless, moving forward with grace and dignity as we endeavor in the world. And endeavoring in the world, in the world of commerce, because everything is commerce, right? So that's what we're talking about here. You are there, and your line is open. Welcome, welcome, Yama.
Yes, shalom, shalom, Layla. Another beautiful time to be alive and breathing and being a light force to all that we share with. This is Women Reelevated, and that's what we're all about, exploring, getting more truth, getting the knowledge so we can share with others. And when we share truth and knowledge with others, we all become empowered. And that's what it's all about. And Women Reelevated, as if you look at the word, is woman. So when woman is being reelevated, the man is right along with her, right along
Absolutely.
With the woman. And that's what it's all about. There's no division. There's only unity. I had purpose the other day. I said, when I greet people and those who I feel a connection with, I'm going to say unity, because it's about time that we be united in our everyday life. We need to be making connection with people that we can be united with and become a mighty force in anything we want to do, whether it's just conversation or if it's actually going and getting something accomplished, maybe in our communities. That's what it's all about. It's all about restoring, restoration, re-elevating, making everything complete every single day. And that's what Woman Reelevated is all about, to be reunited with like-minded people and coming together in unity, having that authority and that power to make things change, to make things new, to create. And that time is now. That time is now. It's right before our face. It can happen once we put our mind to it. And we unite as a united front to go forth and to share and to empower others.
You're absolutely correct, Yama. And, you know, when you talk about that, you know, when we talk about the influence and power, carrying that scepter, you know, we as women, we carry scepters as well. And we have that, we nurture life, right? We nurture all beings, all human beings we nurture. So we ultimately have that scepter, the influence and the power that we inhibit in ourselves and express out in the world. And somehow, along the way, we have been, I guess, hoodwinked to think that we don't have a lot of power. And we end up playing small, and smaller than we ought to be playing. And the purpose of this program is to help us to re-elevate back to that glory, to be the mighty, powerful goddesses that we are, and to in that process lift up the rest of the people, the man. The man is waiting for us to do that. And once we do that, just like you said, Yama, the man will follow us. The man, that's what they want, because the men, we set the barometer for the men. You know, if we set our barometer, our standards low, they'll accept it. We set our standards high, they will gravitate to that level and meet us there, and we'll walk arm in arm. And then our sons and our daughters will follow. So that's really the premise of what the Women We Elevated is all about. So what I'd like to do is introduce you to our guest today. Our guest is a young woman. She would consider herself a Generation Xer. You know, that's the term that they put on this generation of these young, beautiful men and women who don't necessarily think like some of us have been raised to think. They are what you call out-of-the-box thinkers. I don't think like there is a box, you know, really. I mean, some people put themselves in a box, and some people even say there's a glass box. But, you know, I aim to think that there is no box, but they automatically think there is no box. They don't believe that there are any limitations to what it is that they can do. And when we speak to these, especially young ones, when they speak, the words that come out of their mouths are very powerful, and they're acting and moving and grooving accordingly. And when... You know, it's just really very startling. I'm thinking, where did you get that from? But we understand that each generation is supposed to be better than the next, and that's what's happening with these young people. So this young woman, she is, I'm going to let her tell you a little bit about herself, but she's, you know, came from a two-parent household. She is graduated from college. She's been in the work world. She's been in the business world. She has her own business. There's some things and nuances that she can discuss with us that will help us to see things from her perspective. Some of the old modalities that we have been raised to say, I can tell you, she just crushes them underneath her feet like they don't even exist. And I felt like it's really important for us to bring you know, people like her forward to help us to catapult our thinking in a more magnanimous way. So without further ado, I'm going to open up your line. Hey, everyone. Jamila, are you there?
I am here. Good morning.
Okay. Well, welcome. We welcome you to Thor. You're a fellow sister of ours, and we are just so really excited to hear about a little bit about you. Just tell us a little bit about your background, what you've been able to accomplish so far in your life, and we'll ask you some questions. Yama, your line is still open, so we'll be able to ask Jamila some questions. And if any of you are that are out there and listening and you care to join the conversation, please feel free to press the number 1 so your line will light up and we can add you to the conversation as well. Well, Jamila, you have the platform. Just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Let's see. Well, I grew up playing soccer, played soccer in college Division I, enjoyed that tenure. The funny thing is I went to college as a pre-med student, took all the pre-med requisites, but my junior year, beginning of my junior year, I decided to switch my major, and I became a finance major, and I still graduated still being able to take the exams and go to med school if I wished, because I had all the classes. So, I mean, I've changed my mind a lot. From college, I went into the workforce, I've worked for several different companies. And in my last position, I was a recruiter. And I noticed as a recruiter, the younger generation or people my age or around my age or younger, a lot of employers would see them as job hoppers. Well, in reality, they call us millennials. The way we see it is as we're not going to work and put our time into something that we do not believe in. And that is making a huge shift now to businesses into corporate America and corporations. And I have decided, I mean, I've always dabbled in working for myself and working full-time doing that. But it was towards the end of last year, I was like, I've had it, you know, going from one position to another in hopes that it would be something better, something, a brighter rainbow or something else where I'm like, yeah, I can do this. But then I realized, wait a minute, why am I taking my time and energy and working for somebody else? I've always been in sales, doing sales, seeing how much the company is making, and then compared to that, I have a measly commission check plus a salary, which of course I thought is great, but really when it comes down to the scheme of things, I didn't to what is out there, there's so much more to be had, in my opinion, working for yourself. Were you going to say something? Oh, okay. And I've decided to work for myself. I have a lot of other friends and colleagues who, within the last year or so, they have left their stable jobs. I guess you would call it stable. I mean, it's corporate America. Stable jobs to start their own business or start their own venture. And another thing about us that a lot of people are, you know, a lot of the older generation is kind of bewildered about is that we would rather make less money doing what we want as opposed to making more money and spending our time working away doing something that we don't want to do. So that is something that I believe in. Of course, I like money. So whatever I'm going to do, I want to make money doing it and feel good, but also not spend that much time dedicated to it. I like my free time. I like, you know, I like going to the gym, working out. I like traveling. I like doing other things than besides work. So to me, it's not a work-life balance. It's a work alignment. I will need to fund, I need the funds to put my time into helping people because I don't mind making money if I feel good about it and I'm helping someone. So that's always been something that I've been into. But with what I'm doing, it needs to fund me traveling, doing things that I really want to do. And that's what is so different, I would have to say, with my generation than seeing my parents working, say, for a company 20-plus years and looking to retire with a pension. That is something that our generation does not really care about, so to say. Well, I'll open it up to any other questions. I don't know what else to say about myself at this point.
No, that's excellent, actually. I mean, you touched on quite a few points. And you answered one of the questions that I had because I was going to ask you what kind of philosophy were you raised with concerning the parents that you had. I mean, you know, you said your parents worked and were looking for a pension at the end of their tenure in work and retirement.
Absolutely, and parents were miserable, especially my dad. And what happened with him is that right before, I believe it was like a year or so before he was eligible for retirement, guess what? They laid him off. So what happened to all that, you know, he worked his whole life for one company and they pulled the rug out underneath him. And that happens time and time again to the older generation. Not saying that my father is old, but that's, you're seeing that. People are getting tenure. Company would rather hire someone else at a lower price than pay out a pension and things like that for the rest of the person who's been in that seat's life. So we're seeing this huge change, and that's something that my generation is seeing because we've seen our parents suffer and have to start all over or rebuild or find another game plan or another tactic when it comes to their retirement.
So you said that your last working experience was as a recruiter. So as a recruiter, you were recruiting for what, companies or employees for companies? Is that what you were doing?
I was, yes. So my position was finding finance professionals, accountants, financial analysts, controllers, all these people to fill a role that corporations were seeking to fill. Now, the funny thing about that was a lot of the corporations that we were dealing with, they didn't want somebody who was unemployed. So we had to finesse and talk to people who already had a position and talk them into a new position and offer them more money, see what the perks were and things like that. So basically we're picking off workers from other firms that was similar to the company that hired us to fill a position. So that's essentially what I was doing.
I'm sorry, I'm chuckling because I heard you. I think I heard you correctly. I just want you to reiterate. Did you just say that the company did not want you to hire people who were unemployed? Are you telling
No.
me these people that are unemployed, that are looking for jobs, thinking that they have an opportunity, these companies didn't want them? Did I hear you say that correctly?
That is correct. Unless it's been very short time, to them it's very unattractive because they're not currently using their skills. So they rather hire someone and have them put in their 2 weeks notice and maybe start 2 weeks to a month after they've chosen that person to take that position. As opposed to, now, don't get me wrong, there's another side of the business, and it's called temp. I wasn't on the temp side, so they may put someone in that role on a temporary basis. But the temp people, the temp workers, those are people who may get an assignment for 2 or 3 weeks, and then they are out because they may not have all the skills that the employer is looking for. So, unfortunately, and it's sad, I've seen a lot of people who go into temp work or temporary assignments, and they're stuck in that cycle for years. And the reason that is because for a full-time employee to an employer, temp workers are not attractive. Yes, so that's really sad. So I learned that behind the scenes.
Wow.
So that's not something they're going to advertise or say, but to us as their client, we know what they want, and we better not show them a resume with a lot of jobs on it.
A lot of jobs, I mean, that they would job.
A lot of jobs. Basically, you know, you wanted someone who had less than 15 years of experience. So, yes, you're not supposed to discriminate on age, but if they had more than 15 years of experience, we had to toss that to the side. You had to look at a certain range in experience, and they had to have certain things and maybe a minimum or maximum of maybe 3 employers within a certain time frame for them to be considered for a position or even not a position, for an interview with a potential employer. So that's what I did for a while.
Wow. That just sprung up. I mean, that's a little. I mean, it's in line with what we're talking about. But I did not know that, and that's very. I think that this seems pivotal for those of us that are in the listening audience that know people that are looking for jobs. I think this is really key and pivotal information that you should know. And I think that's even more reason why, you know, when we're talking about being in business, being and looking at the idea of being in business for yourself is much more crucial when you're looking for somebody to give you. What I call corporate welfare is the term that I want to put to it. Because, you know, I've been in the corporate world. I've had my own business, and I know the differences between the two. And I personally chose that was not a place that I wanted to go back to. But I want to hear from someone, you know, in a younger generation for me to be able to hear what their viewpoint is, and that's why Jamila is here. Now, you've had that experience. Now, you were a recruiter. Is there any other experience that you have prior to? I mean, has all of your career been involved in recruiting or in the behind the scenes in the workforce area?
Well, I've been involved with managing a group for a structured settlement. Before that, I was managing a company who, I don't know if you've seen those commercials with J.G. Wentworth, Get Your Money Now. So I was dealing with people who have annuities based on some sort of tragedy, which is really sad. So people who typically have a structured settlement or an annuity, something terrible happens, such as a loved one died in a car crash, or they were poisoned, or they were severely burned in the fire, or some sort of tragedy. Never I hear a story of someone having a structured settlement for something good that happened, because in order to receive a structured settlement, people are suing a company, or basically, yeah, it is a company at fault for a tragic situation. And the courts will award, let's say they get $300,000. Instead of taking the lump sum, some people opt to have that money placed in an annuity where it will pay them out for either, let's say, 20 to 30 years, or it can pay them out for life. So some people, let's say, they may receive $1,000 a month for the rest of their lives with a 3% increase. So what we did is, let's say they wanted to buy a car. Rather than going to a bank or to the car dealership in their financing area to get money, they would get the money from their annuity. So we would structure a deal, okay, you need $15,000. Of course, we would talk them into more. And in order for you to get $15,000, it's going to cost you about $15,000. So really they're taking about $30,000 out of their annuity. The company would get $15,000, and then they would get $15,000. So that's how that would work, because these are investors buying future payments of theirs. And then it would be court ordered for those payments to be directed to whoever the investor is who bought those payments and who upfronted that money to them. So, yes, I did manage a team doing that. And that was kind of sad, I would say, because a lot of these people with structured settlements, their credit is shot, unfortunately, so they're not able to borrow. And salespeople would take advantage of them and talk them into doing back-to-back deals to where they may end up selling their entire annuity, including life contingent payments. And they don't realize, or they may not realize that, okay, in 5 years from now, you're not going to have any more payments for the future at all. So what are they going to do? Yeah, I wasn't too proud of that. I mean, but a lot of money was made, of course, for people in that business. So that's why they're in it.
Wow.
But that's not amazing. Something I felt too good about, to be honest, because it wasn't honest work.
Wow. That's amazing. We have a caller that's on the line, and I recognize this number. So, Sister Shani, how are you?
Good morning, sisters.
Good morning.
Sister Layla and Mother Yama and Sister Jamila. I know I sound like I woke up because I just did, but I said I had to call in, and I'm thankful that I did call in because I'm paying attention to what Jamila is saying and what I've noticed throughout the week on all these shows that I've listened to. What millennials are doing is they're recognizing the faults that normally our generation would take in and say, well, it's just a job. I have to do a job and keep this job. I don't care if we're treating people wrong. I still have to do this job. But what the millennials are saying is, you know what, this is unfair. They're speaking up against the unfairness to other, you know, other people that look like them, or, you know, they've been trained in college to believe they had to have this job in order to survive. And they're like, no, this isn't fair. We have to speak up and do something else about it. So with you being an entrepreneur, excuse me, and coming on and recognizing that the faults, you have control of what's happening. I respect you for that, Jamila. And one question that I You're very welcome, sister. One question that I have is, I see where the strength comes from because you see the inequalities that's happening. I see that and recognize that strength, but what would you suggest for those who are older to do as far as starting a business on their own? What would you say the steps are needed to take? I know the first step is recognizing the inequalities among treating our, you know, fellow people, Americans or whatever it is, treating them wrong. But what else is the next step from there? How much money should we have? Where do we go? Do we need much education? Because our main fear as those who've been in corporate America for like 20, 30 years is, where's this money going to come from? If I quit my job, how am I going to survive? What would you suggest to them?
Well, something I've realized, I'll get to all your points, is that with me not working 40 hours a week, I mean, I didn't really put over that. I realize there's so much opportunity out there. So much. Every business opportunity I'm looking at, it leads to another, leads to another. And my eyes are getting so big, and I'm like excited about almost everything. But really what it comes down to is there's no reason to be fearful. I mean, it doesn't really – there's so many businesses out there to where you don't really need any capital at all to even get started. You can flip deals. You can be a broker in something and make money helping others. As far as what type of business should you get into, it really comes down to what are you interested in. And you can learn about any type of business or anything if you just want to put the time in to learn. I spend a lot of time reading articles or reading, you know, I watch a lot of YouTube videos. Everyone loves to share their wealth of knowledge, and I'm so taken aback a lot of, are you kidding me? They're posting a video on how they do this. They're willing to teach me this, and I'm not having to pay them. It's mind-blowing to me. It is mind-blowing of the amount of free information out there if you're just willing to search and take the time to learn. So it can really be anything. I mean, do you have any special interest for you? Maybe I can give you some ideas on some things that you could possibly do.
You know, I want to interject something because, you know, Jamila, when I was talking to Jamila, she had shared a venture that she was involved with just recently, which she was doing some research, and in her research, she came across somebody who took a liking to her and kind of embraced her and helped her along the way. So I'd like, Jamila, for you to, you don't have to necessarily say that what business it was if you want to, but you can just share the dynamic, you know, because when you said, you know, you did a lot of researching and a lot of reading of articles and so forth and so on, put the energy and effort into it. I'd like for you to share how you didn't have any money or if you did have money, what caused you to what was that pathway for you, and how did it end up for you, and where are you with it right now?
For which business? I'm sorry.
This would be for the, I think this was the pharmaceutical.
Yes. So for quite some time, I was involved with pharmaceutical sales from home. I had a team under me. And we were really going to bat, and I was making a ton of money working from home, not working more than 4 hours a day. And there were some changes in the law. I saw it coming. And the main insurance provider that was paying out all these claims said, and they pulled the ropes, and then a lot of the pharmacies that I was working with, they are no longer allowed to process medications through them. But did I fret at all? No, because I always have a backup plan to a backup plan to a backup plan. I mean, I have my insurance license. I know I can jump back into that if I wanted to, become contracted with companies. do I really care to do that right now? No, there's so many other opportunities. Right now, I'm more focused on the real estate side of things now. So I'm getting everything together to launch that side. And once again, I mean, there's opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. I have so many different avenues that I know that I can jump right in and make money if necessary.
So that kind of boggles my mind. I mean, when you say you have opportunity after opportunity after opportunity after opportunity, or backup plan after backup plan after backup plan. I mean, how does one acquire that? I mean, you answered the question, but I just want you to kind of go into the dynamic of how you found that person that allowed you to have that team that you developed. I mean, what was the dynamic? Because we're talking to people who are in business, who want to be in business, or who want to sell their business. You know, we're talking to a whole diverse group of people right now. So I want people to understand specifically what you're talking about, because you make it sound so simple, but for somebody who's not done that, I need you to kind of just back it up a little bit and just kind of break it down a little bit more. You said that
as
you
far
did
as
research.
How I'm finding opportunity after opportunity after opportunity?
Yeah, like for example, and that's why I wanted you to encapsulate that pharmaceutical business you told me about. You told me you met this guy, and I don't remember all the dynamics about how you met the guy, but just take us through that process that got you to the point where you were able to develop a team and do really, really well. If you can just take us through that, that would be great.
Okay. Well, I started, you know, on someone else's team with all these different pharmacies processing pharmaceutical set or creams. They're pain creams or gels. And I was thinking, wow, for each sale, I can make $500 on each sale, and it's going to be a residual income for as long as the doctor prescribes their medication, so it could be for 6 months and things like that. Well, with things started to break down. So I was like, man, I still want to do this. So I came across what I thought was a lead, which actually was a gentleman who had a business partner, and they had their own pharmacies that they were contracted with, and they were getting a lot more return on the same amount of work. So I ended up partnering with them, and I brought my team along with that, and we processed a lot of prescriptions through them. But we knew that the industry was getting a crackdown on it because a lot of people were making a lot of money on it. And so that stopped. They're still going in a different route, but I'm not sure I want to jump back into it. So I decided to look at other things because, yes, the reward is great, but there was a risk in finding leads. I could spend thousands of dollars on leads, and the leads could end up being crap. So I was like, I don't know if I want to go through that headache again. So I decided to look at something else to where I can make money without that much output of my own funds. So that's when I started to look at real estate, and I believe on, it was yesterday, Brother Sharif's show, he spoke with Bob Diamond. I was looking at mortgage overages, and the mortgage overages made me think about, hey, I was looking at this opportunity a long time ago, which was property preservation, which also has to deal with foreclosures. And then from there, I was like, wait a minute, how about I buy some foreclosures myself and then flip them? And that's what I mean by opportunity, opportunity, opportunity. There are so many opportunities. When I sat down and started looking and reading on something, it would lead me to another path. And I was like, wow, I could start here, but I can see how my business can grow to other branches. But it all stems from real estate. And already,
I'm looking. I already have at least 5 different stems, but it's all real estate. And do I plan on getting my real estate license? Not at all. I'm not interested in that side of it. I don't need that side of it. But for someone else, that may be a great side of it. That may be a great side that they're looking to sell real estate. But that's not how I'm looking to sell real estate. So that's what I mean by opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. I know that there, I guess you can say there's a fail-safe plan. Fine, if something doesn't work or if it's kind of stuck, fine, I'm going to go work on something else to generate some money, generate some income. And I'm not stressed out about it.
I totally get what you're saying because the mind of an entrepreneur is always seeing something else as an opportunity. And they're risk takers. I mean, entrepreneurs, they don't mind taking risks. But I get what Sister Ray is also saying. What were the steps as finding a team that you had underneath you? How do you find possibly interns or potential people who have the drive that you did to sell the creams that were out there? Did you look online? Were these close friends or people who also had the same idea of being an entrepreneur? Or were these people who were in corporate America and was looking for additional income? Did you reach out to or did you see something in somebody else? How did you find those additional sell people underneath you?
That's a great question. It's all of the above. Some of them were coworkers of the past. Some, you know, they stepped out of corporate America and they were looking for a new opportunity. And mm-hmm. I would say half of them were referrals. So mm-hmm. I didn't really have to post. I was going to post because I was looking for an assistant, but everything else was just referral based, or it was something I knew. And actually, one person that I brought on, she brought on everyone else because she knew them or I had worked with them. Oh, how about this person? All right, have them get in touch with me, and they got in touch with me, and then they got on board. So it really just spread kind of like wildfire. It's a lot of times it's about who you know. And if you do need to post, you can post and see their credentials and see if they're a fit for what you're trying to do.
Awesome.
The call-in number is 657-383-0332. If you have a question or comment, please press 1, and we will welcome you. Kiyama, do you have any questions for Jamila?
Yes, I'm really enjoying it. It's valuable information. What I like when she said about her time and her energy was valuable, and she couldn't, if my understanding is right, use it to benefit someone else. And she turned it around to benefit herself. And also when she said less is more, especially when you have to, when you're stepping out to acquire a business, and you realize that you receive, when you take that opportunity to say, I'm going to take less, because right now less is more, and then you get your network going, and my understanding or my acknowledgement is that you've done something valuable for yourself, and also you gave out all this energy, all this information, because there's a lot of people, like you stated, that are fearful to move out and to let go one thing that they think is beneficial, and once they let go, they realize that was a dynamic move to get into exactly where you wanted to be. And most people want to work for themselves because they realize that in the corporate world or in businesses, you're just going to make so much, you're just going to get so much recognition, and that's it. So the information that you gave is very valuable, and more people need to hear this. As I'm listening to it, I said, I'm going to have my son listen to today's program. because he started a business, but you can't get frustrated in it. And like you said, you have to get your connections. You have to have backup plans and a backup plan and a backup plan. So
I appreciate it. That raises a really good point. So, Jamila, I mean, so in your business, I mean, does everything work out the way that you expect it to work out? I mean, has that been your experience? Is everything just all la-di-da, or have you met some obstacles along the way?
Oh, I've definitely reached some obstacles, but to me, I need to figure out a way to get through them or around them. It's all about strategy or figure. If I don't know how to do something, I have to, or I don't know how to do some sort of putting like something together, I need to either talk to someone who knows or find out and read about it. I will scour the internet looking for information until I find what I'm looking for, really. To me, everything's a mindset. It is, do you want to put the energy in or not? You're going to be, I'd rather fall forward. Yes, it's not going to be perfect, but as long as you're learning from your mistakes and you're not going to repeat them, you will succeed. You have to fall forward. And that's my philosophy. It's not going to be perfect. I may get some bumps and bruises after I do a couple deals, or if I do one of my first deals on something new, it's not going to be smooth, and I know that. But after, say, the third or fourth deal, I would feel like I'm an expert and I can move forward easy breezy. That means you know how to do this business, and you can keep moving forward with it, whatever it is. It's just that you have to take the time to learn, and you have to put the time in. If you don't put the time in, then you can't expect anything to get done. Nothing's going to get done if you don't put any of your time.
There's a couple things. Is that you, Shani?
Yes, ma'am. There's a couple of things that I've noticed dealing with entrepreneurs, and one of the things is they think they're going to make a lot of money there within the first year. You have to have the mindset of knowing that it's going to take at least 3 years to come out of the red, 5 years for it to be comfortable. But with Jamila, she stepped into some things that she's a high risk taker, so she knows that some of these things are going to bring in a lot of money quick, but it's going to take a lot of work to get into it. The basic entrepreneur, though, is looking for that one job or that one business that's going to be their cash cow for the rest of their life, which brings me to step two, or the second thing that I've noticed entrepreneurs doing. They only look for one business to bring income in. You have to have, with today's market, you have to have multiple streams of income. Say, for instance, if somebody wants to be a blogger, okay, if you're just posting up on your own personal website about things that you like, about lifestyle, about health or whatever, what else can you utilize that website for, your blog site for, in order to bring more income in? Affiliate marketing. When you have that power and control of that email list, then you can either sell the list if you want to another company, or it's just so many things that you have. As an entrepreneur, it's not just one thing you sit on. Okay, I want to open up a barbershop, or I want to open up a restaurant. Think of other things outside of just having a barbershop in a restaurant. What about catering? What about personal parties? What about a specialty item and reach out to another restaurant, a larger corporation? If you make cookies, reach out to them. It's so many. It's like she said earlier, there's things upon things upon things that you can get into. She's talking about housing or real estate. Even within real estate, there's so many levels, and she mentioned several levels within real estate. So you go in as an entrepreneur thinking that this isn't the only cash cow that I have. Know that I'm not going to bring in a lot of money within the first couple of years, and put more, be able to have the ability to know that there could be more things you could do under the umbrella of just this one business. So, you know, have multiple streams of income. That's what I constantly research myself is, okay, if I'm doing this, what else can I bring money into that I love doing? Everything that I touch, the heart of an entrepreneur is what you love doing. It's not focusing on the income or the money. It's what I love doing. You could be asleep and still have money coming in.
Yeah.
But you have to research and know how that happens. You can't just automatically go out there and think that, oh, gosh, I'm going to make this billions of dollars within the first year and I'm going to be good. No, you got to research, too.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you said that, Shauna, because that's what I was going to say. You know, do what you love. I mean, I spent a lot of time. I really had to search my soul and figure out what it is that I love. I was doing a lot of things that I did not love, and I was still making a ton of money doing what I didn't love. And so it's doing what you love. That's really what's going to what really is going to work well for you is what's going to resonate. Because what's happening right now is we are all going through the shift. We are all going through a shift right now, and you hear the shift through Jamila and the way that she is approaching the way that she's doing business. There are too many people right now that are starting to do what they love or embracing what they love that they are excelling at such a very, very high level very rapidly. Because, John, and I just heard you talk about 3 to 5 years. That mantra is old now because the people that I'm around, and I'm going to ask Jamila the question, and I'm pretty sure what she is going to say is going to match what I'm going to say about it. People that are embracing what they love and that are engaging, and if they're engaging, just untraditional, not the brick-and-mortar businesses, you know, because when you do the brick-and-mortar businesses, yeah, you're going to put out a lot of investment, and then you have to wait so much for the return. But there are people that are doing business in such a dynamic way. Jamila just said that she had a team while she was working from home. I mean, think about that for a second. Let's just pause for a second because I'm still like kind of bothered. She has a business. I don't know if it's still going or not, but she said things change in that business, so it kind of cracked down. But she was working from home, and she had a team of people. Jamila, were they working from home too?
Yes, they were.
Okay, so she had a team of people that were working from home. All right, so Jamila, were you like working? You said 4 hours a day. Did you say 4 hours a day?
That was max. That was me. If I was doing sales myself, I wouldn't work over that. There's no need. That's to me. I got other things to do. Yeah, I'd rather spend my time doing other things, make the money I need to make. Of course, I had a goal. And even if I met my goal early, it didn't matter. I still worked a full time. I'm not one of those people, I hit my goal of 3 sales today. I'm going to stop. No. If I can get one more before my time's up, I'm going to do it. So that, because the way I see it is, okay, tomorrow I could only end up with 2. So I need to still keep my average of where I need it to reach my goal of what I'm trying to do. So that's, but my time, like I said, is very valuable because I was doing, you know, pharmaceutical side doesn't mean I want, that's all I wanted to do. There's other businesses that I was interested in and that I was researching and that I was contemplating putting my time into. Because as everyone knows, you need multiple streams of income. You just can't have one because I knew that, man, a part of me was like, man, this is just too good to be true. And I was hoping that the ride would last at least through the end of this year, but that did not happen. That didn't happen. And it's quite interesting because, yes, the people on my team, they are entrepreneurs themselves. They're like-minded people. But what I find kind of odd is that they keep reaching out to me for their next project. So, which I can put them on a new project, but it's now on the structure settlement side. And I used to be in business doing that, but I'm not sure if I want to get back into that, even though a lucrative deal was placed in front of me 2 months ago, and they're still trying to get me to pull the trigger on that, but I just haven't. Like I said, there's opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. It's just, what do I want to spend my energy and time doing?
I love that. What do I? That's what we need to ask ourselves. What is it that we want? Do we know what we want? Are we clear? Because I'm hearing Jamila, and I'm hearing clarity in everything that she's saying. She's speaking with authority and clarity and purpose. Is that what we do? We have that in what it is that we want to achieve for ourselves. That's key and pivotal. Because I heard her also say that she made a decision, you know, and she's making a decision based on what's best for her in her lifestyle and the fact that she has other things that she wants to do, and that's obviously more important than anything else. And the fact that she maxed out at 4 hours a day, is that 7 days a week? Is that, was that?
Oh, no. 5 days, but Fridays were a little slow, so you could really say Monday through Thursday, sometimes Saturday. But Fridays and Saturdays, oh, but when things were riding high, I was working 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday, about 4 hours. I don't even know how many hours I worked to a day, but it was cash cow time, so of course I was putting more time in. But I wasn't putting in 16-hour days or 10-hour days. I think that's just crazy for me. But here's the difference, though. When it comes to learning a new business, I'll put in 8 hours in the day just reading, and I realize, oh, my gosh, all this time has gone by. And if I still feel like going, I'm going to keep going and reading and researching and getting things going, setting things up or you know, posting or anything just to keep myself moving. Because, you know, if thoughts lead to feelings lead, I forgot the whole thing, but really, your
feelings lead
actions,
to thoughts, actions, and thoughts lead to actions?
Something like that.
Is that the way it goes?
That's the whole thing. I think there's one more in there, but if you're not taking action, if you're not moving the needle, then you're going to stay where you are. You have to keep moving. You have to put in the time. You have to spend time doing what you really want to do. Otherwise, your dream is not going to happen. You can't make dreams come true just by thinking about it. If you don't do anything about it, then guess what? That dream's not happening, and you only have yourself to blame.
Yes. What I appreciate what you said. Well, it's an eye opening for me when you said multiple streams of income, because most people who are retired and have their Social Security and if they have a pension, that's their income. They have nothing else coming in. And as we all know, that prices change and things that you have to money that you have to spend out for certain things, those things increase, and you're living on a set income, and that's all you have. So a lot of senior citizens need multiple streams of income right now.
Absolutely.
Yes. And when you said that, I said, well, what can I do to bring in additional income?
I have a question for you, and I don't want actual numbers, Gmo, because I'm tabulating the hours. So in the heyday, and you're riding high, I'm hearing 24 hours in the course of the week applying to your business. But I heard you also say earlier that, you know, in the positions that you've held when you're working corporate America, you're just recently a recruiter, and you made really good money. So in comparison with the – and how many hours were you working as a recruiter in a week?
40 hours.
So you went from 40 hours to about 24 hours in your business?
Yes, and I made more money working for myself. Spending
That's
less
powerful.
Time.
That's very, very powerful. So that is a mindset shift. And I think that that's really important to bring forward, because there, you know, when we talk about overcoming the fear aspect of you know, there are some people who have never been in business, and I understand that, and we can relate to that. And there's a mindset shift. Number one, if you're working a job and you've never been in business before, because you know we're accustomed to being told what time we have to report to work, what time we can take a break, what time we can go to lunch, what time we have to be back if you work in that kind of an environment. But if you're in a management level, you can pretty much come and go. But, you know, if you're in a management level, you don't put in 40 hours a week. You put in about 60 hours a week. or more, because you have reportings and things that you have to do and people that you're responsible for, you know, if you're in that capacity. But nonetheless, your time ends up not being your own. And I'm hearing Jamila has commanded her time by being in business for herself, working a very part-time schedule on a full-time business with purpose and dedication, and making more money and having more free time to be able to do whatever it is she decides to do. Because I heard you say travel in that, right? So you're able to travel.
Taking a lot of trips so far this year. But my whole thing is I am working towards, I want the laptop lifestyle. I don't care to ever have an office with employees. You know, actually wouldn't matter to me, but I wouldn't be there. You know, but I'm not, I'd rather be on the beach. If I can work from the beach, which I've done, to me that's awesome. That's how I want to work. I don't want to go into an office. That's not my style. I want to be able to work from anywhere, and I'm happy that technology allows that.
That's powerful. Are there any, if you want to join the conversation or have any questions, please press 1. The call-in number is 657-383-0332. We have a guest on the show today. Her name is Jamila. She's a young businesswoman, entrepreneur. I didn't say business, but she's an entrepreneur and has a lot of dynamic information that she's sharing with us. So feel free to ask questions while we have her here. Yama, Shani, do y'all have any other questions for Jamila?
I'm just still in awe because she took it to a whole other level. Not only did she become an entrepreneur, she also had entrepreneurs under her. The one thing that you said, Jamila, was they're contacting you for new, you know, business ventures. And the thing that they missed was that they were also entrepreneurs. And it just baffles me when I see that. Like, I deal with authors all the time, and they don't realize that they're entrepreneurs. You know, they don't see that, you know. The conditioning of people who come from corporate America still kind of have that training in their mind. But when I hear Jamila, she's like, screw the training. I bypass that. I know that everything that I need is within me. I could research, I could start a business, I could do all of that. I have the training and tools within myself. That's why I was like, she's a risk taker. I appreciate the generation that she came from because it gives me hope for the future. Of course, this is what America was founded on, was entrepreneurs. but what would you suggest to those people who are coming to you and looking for new leads? Are you going to be a consultant in the future? For those who want to start businesses and give them the tools or say this is how you need to do it, because, again, that's multiple streams of income if you think about it, sister. are you thinking about being a consultant for those who want to start business?
You know, I have not thought about that. You just put that in my head. But, you know, I could definitely do that. I mean, I have a lot of different ideas, and there's opportunity after opportunity after opportunity, but a lot of them I know about, but I'm not interested in pursuing. So that it could be something else that someone else might be interested in pursuing, and it could be something that they've never thought about doing. So I mean, that's a great idea. Absolutely.
More income. Again, something else where you're only talking 4 hours a week or however long you want to. That's just a suggestion I'm dropping out there.
No, I like it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I just wanted to touch on, Johnny, you helped cause me to remember the thought that I don't think I completed. You know, when there are people that are transitioning from one, you know, coming out of the employment world into the entrepreneur world, there is a different mindset. And you're hearing that mindset very, very, very clearly with Jamila and what she's saying. That mindset is definitely the mindset of all successful business people. There are some people, obviously, that are in business that are still needing to get to that point where you hear Jamila speaking from, that power and authority that she carries with her when she speaks. She's very decisive, and that's what's necessary. And that, when you talk about what's going to carry the country forward, we need people like Jamila. And as she's telling us that her peer group, the people that she associates with, the people she's encountered in her peer group, think that way, that modality is that way, then yes, I feel great about the future generations coming. And when we talk to these little five-year-olds, and, you know, they're coming out, being born, talking and walking and talking right now, right? It's just amazing where their thought processes are going to be, because we understand that each generation is better than the next. It's just very, very welcoming, and it gives my heart, it gives me glee. It makes my heart full of gladness. Yes. You know, Jamila, I want to thank you so much for sharing. I'm going to give another opportunity for anyone who has a question to press 1 or have a comment, wants to join this conversation before we move forward. That'll be greatly appreciated. Just press 1. Don't be fearful. That's what we're talking about. We have quite a few people on the line, and we want to hear what you have to say. Any questions that you have? This is a great time to get them answered. Yes. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, Layla, I don't know. I mean, I have a business opportunity that has no upfront cost and can generate, you know, over 6 figures a year for people. And I don't know if that is something that I could possibly share with your audience maybe sometime in the future. But I just realized while we're sitting here, I go, I have another opportunity that I haven't pursued that could be beneficial to a lot of people. And it's just really, you're helping others, you're blessing people. So I don't know if that's something that you would like to possibly talk about in the future.
Possibly. And what I would say is for those of you that are interested in knowing anything about that, feel free to send an email. And I just realized send an email. And do you have an email, Jamila, that you would like people to send to you? If you're wanting to give that out, that would be great if they have any interest.
Yeah, absolutely. It's JamilaSmith@gmail.com. That's J-A, M as in Mary, I-L-A, Smith@gmail.com. J-A-M-I-L-A, Smith@gmail.com.
All right, great. So moving forward, you've got that. You've got opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. What do you see for yourself? Going into the future, what is the overall benefit of everything that you are putting your energies into now? What does that grand picture look like for you?
What that picture looks like is me having people. I'm going to start all my businesses myself, but eventually I'm going to have people, decision makers in place to where my business is being run automatically without me having to step in and do anything. All my time is free and it's mine. But guess what? I'm still generating that income. So that is my... Now, if I have to make key decisions, of course, but I don't need to be the person doing or handling any of the day-to-day. That is how I see my future.
Jamila, that's just wonderful, because you have the ability to self-govern yourself, and everything that you have is coming from within. And then once you put it out there, it's unlimited. Your expectation is very high. Wow. You know, they used to say that the sky is the limit, but that just by knowing you from this program, you have unlimited. It's unlimited for you.
It is, and I appreciate it.
Unlimited. Wow. It's beautiful. I mean, There might be someone else like you, but you're the first one I heard. You're the first one. Wow. Wow. Your expectations.
Believe it, achieve it.
So unlimited. Wow. It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Well, I do want to thank everyone. If no one else has any questions, I do want to thank you for having me on today.
Well, it's a great pleasure to have you here, Jamila. And I know that I feel assured that whatever it is you put your mind to, you are going to accomplish it three times over with great success. And, you know, we only expect the best for you. You know, you're our young sister.
I have a question.
You. Oh, Brother Sharif. Welcome, welcome.
Yeah. Welcome. How are you? I need a job. Maybe Jamila can hook me up. I'm looking for a part-time job.
A part-time
job. I came on the tail end of the show. I just wanted to say hello to everybody. I'm trying to nurse this little sinus infection that I may have. I wanted to welcome everybody to the radio, and I often do not come and visit my sister, as I should, as I am very busy. But I want to thank the guests for coming, Jamila. I came in on the tail end, so I heard some exciting responses to whatever information she imparted with today, but I don't know what the information is about, but I will go back and listen. But I thank you, Jamila, for being here, and thank Layla for having you, because one of the platforms that we want to offer to our community is economic opportunity, which is what Thor is derived our creation about, is economic. So we thank you for all opportunities you may bring. Sounds like you're getting it and moving. What state are you located in?
I am in Maryland, but right outside of D.C. So D.C. Metro.
All right, good. Okay, yes. It's hustling and moving up there. So, yeah, so that's great. I'm just going to lay back, Layla. I just wanted to say hello. I just wanted to thank the guests for coming, and I'm going to fall back in my cage.
Well, we're glad that you're here, Brother Sharif. Yeah, so with that being said, you know, Jamila, you will achieve anything that you want to achieve. I know that without a shadow of a doubt. And I know that you must have some really proud family members that really have great things to say and are very, very proud of you, I would imagine, considering, you know, some of the information that you gave about their history. Now, kudos to you, and kudos for everything that you've got going on in the future.
Right. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
Yes. Okay.
Any other comments? And we were going to bring another segment into the show. However, I personally am traveling today, so I'm going to need to remove myself from the show earlier than normal today. But I'm just so grateful that we were able to have Jamila to come and talk to us. So I want to be able to make sure that we have an opportunity for people to ask questions and get the most out of squeeze that blood out of the turnip. You know, Jamila's that turnip, squeeze the blood out of her, you know, because she'll get the answer for you or provide the answer for you. But I want to be able to make sure that we have enough time to get the questions in, and then we'll go ahead and close the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that we have other callers in here. Please feel free to press 1 so we know that you have a question or a comment, and also the number is 657-383-0332. That's 657-383-0332.
Yes, and you must remember, the callers, when you press 1, then you share with others, just like Jamila shared, and you empower yourself and others, and you get a different perspective of what's your surroundings are. You broaden your surroundings. You get the knowledge that you get will benefit you. I mean, today I am overwhelmed with all this truth that Jamila gave, it's empowering. It makes me want to, you know, I want to do, I want to multi-task and do something else, multi-screen. Yes, I want to do that. Something that something's going to come to my mind. I know it's already there. It's going to come out because this program is going to bring it out and something how I can have an additional income. And so if you're out there, just press 1 and ask your questions because this is a wealth of information. This information can make you prosper, can make you wealthy. Jamila is a witness to it. And you don't have
that, you know,
all that time.
Go ahead. Yes, definitely, Emma, right?
Yes.
Leaders are readers, okay? And all of the people in business that are at the top of their game are readers. They read a lot. I mean, most of the people that I know have a book that they can tell you that they read last week or that they're working on reading a book right now, something that's going to help improve them. So if you heard Jamila talk about how she spends her extra time outside of that 24 hours she puts in running her business, she does spend her other time in the things that she wants to endeavor, but a lot of the time is in her research and developing a plan for what she's going to do next. But she, I would imagine, Jamila, if I ask you, are you an avid reader?
I am. I love to read. I'm one of those, I like to learn. If I don't know, it could be something trivial. If I don't know the answer to something, I look it up. I'm not one of those people, I don't like guessing. If you don't know something, just, I like to be sure in my answers and sure with what I know. So once again, if I don't know something, even if this is a fruit or is it a vegetable or something, if I don't know, I'm looking it up. That's just the way I am. So
then you're not, you don't guess. You don't believe you know. Is that what you're saying? Am I hearing you say you don't become one that says, I believe this, I believe that? You talk from the standpoint and the authority of I know.
Yes, yes.
And that's valuable and that's powerful because no one can ever change your mind on something that you know.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Go ahead, Jamila.
No. You know, a couple months ago, I'm going to share with everyone, I woke up in a sweat. I had a nightmare that I was late for work and I had to be somewhere, like run to the office. And I woke up and I realized, wait a minute, I'm free from that, and I was so happy, but it really was a nightmare. So that's something to me that I do not care to do again. Yeah, people may call me young, but I do not see myself, or it would be a fear of mine to have to go in back into corporate America.
Wow. You're a whole new generation, and people need to know about that generation because it's totally different from the generation that I grew up under. I mean, you don't have any boundaries. You don't have any fears. Like you said, you read and you get the answer, and your choices are based on what you have read and what you know that is sure. Wow, that's a whole nother level.
I do have another question, too. I actually do, because I in my family, you know, my grandmother, she's 90 years old. She believed that, you know, you have to have the 9-to-5, and people here in the community also think, Shawnee, you need a job. With you, Jamila, and the mindset that you have, did you have support from your family and community when you decided to be an entrepreneur, especially with the background that you have of attending college and graduating and all of that? Did your family say, girl, what are you doing with this laptop? What does the laptop do? Or did they say, go ahead and go forward with what it is?
You know, they didn't really, it wasn't discouraging. It was like, okay, well, it's more of if you believe that you can do it, then do it, because really, it's sink or swim. So me, I'd rather swim. Really, I'd rather float. So I guess you can say it's a passion. It's me. I guess I like being in control. I realize I like being in control of things, so I rather control my own money. I want to control it. So that's just me, though. That's just my that's the way I view it. I know what I'm worth, so I want to work and make what I believe I'm worth.
Beautiful. And do you surround yourself with like-minded people who are also entrepreneurs?
Yes, I realize a lot of my friends are entrepreneurs in their 20s, some early 30s, who've quit working for someone else and they open their own businesses. So, yes, I have a lot of friends who have done that. And at the same time, I do have friends who are working the 9-to-5, and they're successful at that. So it's just, you know, but I realize I do have a lot of entrepreneur friends and family members.
And also mentors. Are there mentors that you reach out to who have been exposed to the business or entrepreneur world? Do you rely on somebody else who's had the hands-on experience aside from researching online?
Yes. You know, I have I know people who have contacts, but before I were to reach out to someone and ask for their help, me personally, I have to make sure I'm well-versed in the subject because I don't want to say I want to waste their time. I want to make sure when I do have the chance to speak to that person that I'm asking questions that can change the direction of where I'm going or help shape my direction. Or let's say I'm putting together a deal and I can go to them and say, hey, you're a business person too. How about this? You help me with this deal and you get a cut or something like that. That's more of how I would like to go about it. I'm more of a self-study learner, but if I do need to reach out to someone for help or assistance, then I do not hesitate. But that's only if I'm not able to find the answer or if I'm not sure what to do in a certain situation. So then I would love to talk to someone who has experience before moving forward on something. So I like to be sure in what I'm doing.
Nice. I'm thankful for waking up and listening to the call. You just gave me even more motivation today to focus on what I need to focus on, and Layla for doing the show, and Sister Yama for being here as well, bringing your wisdom. I emailed you to Jamila. I did
okay.
It while you were talking because I have that mind as well of an entrepreneur. If it's another opportunity, I don't mind putting it underneath my umbrella. I have some extra time to do it. So I'd love to hear about that 60 plus a year in income.
Okay, absolutely.
Awesome. Well, with that being said, we're going to go ahead and close the show. I'm just so grateful, Jamila, that you joined us today, and I'm glad that we had this wonderful dialogue today. We will definitely aim to bring you back. We want to get an update sometime in the near future to tell us what your next venture is and how you're doing with that. And we'll see. Definitely. Yama, thank you so much for being the matriarch of Thor. Thor wouldn't be in existence, obviously, without you and Brother Shriek getting some guidance and mothering from you. Sister Shauna, thank you for contributing to the show today. You know, you're always very welcome. And for all of you out there that continue to listen to Thor Radio Network and the Women Re-Elevated, we want to thank you. Please be here tomorrow, Thursday, at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. We will have Brother Francis Bevels Bay, who will bring his program, The Tree, and It Shall Be. For those of you who are members of Thor, Brother Shriek will be having a class this coming Saturday at 12 noon. He sent an email out earlier today, and I had in my mind what the name of the show is. He named it something else, or the class. He named it something else, but, Final Relief, I think, is what it's called, but Relief, I think, is the name of the class for Saturday. So make sure you email debtshow@yahoo.com to register for that class for Saturday. And then be back here on next Tuesday at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for Brother Sharif and the Tuesday Deck Show. With that being said, love, peace, and many blessings, and we will see you next time.
Some days life feels perfect, other days it just ain't working. The good, the bad, the right, the wrong, and everything in between. Yo, it's crazy, amazing, we can turn our heart through the words we say. Mountains crumble with every syllable, hope can live or die. So speak loud. It's like I'm drowning in the deep. Well, it's crazy to imagine words from my lips as the arms of compassion. Mountains crumble with every syllable. Hope can live or die. So speak. Words you say, raise your thoughts a little higher.